Happy Friday, y'all. What's going on?
Oh. Lots to talk about today. How was your week, dude? Before we get anything, how was your week?
Ah, man, it couldn't be better, man. We had wrestling, boxing, soccer. We had everything. Business was good. We had Black Friday, obviously, closing out Cyber Monday. Then we Outright Bars back in stock. We got the machine sleep aid. I'm going to send you one of these. These are amazing. The sleep aid
back Hell in yeah. stock.
Yeah, we haven't had it for a little bit. There was we have patented ingredients, so if they have supply chain. By the way, if there's a glare, you're just going to have to deal with it. It's beautiful and sunny out, and I'm just gonna rock and roll with it. But thing is, like, all the information on sleep aid is, like, just the ingredient profile. From GABA to ashwagandha, the KSM-66, 5-HTP, chamomile extract, lemon balm extract, hops, L-theanine, melatonin. I mean, it is a complete formula. Vitamin B6, calcium, magnesium. It's honestly one of my favorite formulas, and I was really pissed we were out because this is empty. Like, this is empty. I'm waiting on my shipment to come in. So
people don't understand how important sleep is for everything. Not just weight loss and shit like that, but, like, I mean, this, you people like me and you who don't sleep well know, like, if I go like 2 weeks where it's like 4 hours a night, man, I start seeing shit. You know what I mean? Like, it gets to be fucking problematic.
There's three things I want to do. One is fall asleep faster. Two is sleep better. So if you don't get 8 hours of sleep, I want the sleep you get to be more, to mean more, to be deeper, to be more REM based. And I don't want you to have a hangover the next day. So that's why the dosing and the ingredients are the way they are. So that's back in stock. We just marked it back. The PBJ bar's in. And my week's fucking awesome, man. I'm 8 days out from my show. I'm feeling good. You know, my body's run down. I was just telling you, I'm taking a complete deload where I'm just going to do basically cardio, sauna, stuff like that after the show. I've been prepping for the entire year for something, whether it's a fight or it's a, you know, I was prepping for boxing. And then I literally, in the middle of prepping for a boxing tournament, decided to prep for a bodybuilding show. And I've been going ever since. So
At one point in time, you had like a show, then you boxed, and then you did another show. Fucking crazy.
It's been a hell of a year in my body. It's that I'm peaking perfectly because right now, like, my body's like, God, I've never looked forward to not lifting weights in my life. Now I am. I'm like, you know what? That my wife's like, you'll never be able to take a week off. I'm like, watch me take a week off. And I mean, I'm not saying I won't go outdoors and get some bands and just get moving and get a little pump. I'm not saying I'm going to do that, but I'm not going to step foot in a gym unless it's for the step mill or the sauna. You know, if it's raining outside, if it's not raining, I'm going to go enjoy the sunlight. There's a beautiful mountain right by our house. Go walk the dogs. My puppy can walk. He does my cardio with me every day. So it's pretty awesome. How about you, man? How was your week?
Week's been good. We basically just did a lot of writing and then, clients and had a good talk with my parents and shit like that. I had one of my aunts passed away from a stroke.
No. Sorry to hear that.
Well, it's almost like she was very, very old. And so it's like one of those things you get ready for. But, like, when people talk about stuff like what's going on nowadays, like, I just want to let you know, like, to all of you out there, like, when you hear Mark and I talk about death, it's not like we don't, like, feel bad or anything like that. But my aunt was extremely old. Yeah. And I believe she was a beer cocktail flu recipient, jab recipient. And I'm not going to get into that with her because I don't know. I haven't talked to my cousins or anything like that. But these are the people that do the dying, people. Like, I mean, I did a video earlier on the week where it's like less than 10,000 people in the last 2 years have been, like, us, young and healthy, have passed away from this. And it's...
I think compared to the flu, compared to... You know, stupid things. Like, people die from stupid things. I did that video on alcoholism. Like, you saw the stats on drunk driving. You know, you saw the stats. Tens of thousands of people get killed due to alcohol-related incidents on the road. And we seem to be cool with drinking. Like, it's almost, if you don't drink, people, like, fucking make fun of you. Like, what are you, a fucking pussy? It's like, so wait, the fact that I like to be within my senses and know where the fuck I am and I don't want to be inebriated makes me a fucking pussy. Like, not drinking makes you a maverick right now because everybody drinks. Like, it used to be like the cool kids drank. Now you're a rebel if you don't drink and you don't do drugs. You're fucking crazy. Like, what? What? You don't smoke marijuana. You don't, like, fucking, you don't do cocaine. You don't drink. Cocaine might have been over the top. But it's almost just weird.
Depends on which circles, man. That's the crazy shit.
I'm actually pro marijuana for a lot of purposes, so I don't want to get that in there. But I'm talking about kids. Like, you know, I coach high schoolers, and these kids are clean. You know, these kids are athletes. So they'll tell me these stories. Like, they don't even go to parties, and these are awesome kids. Like, these are kids who are, you know, in shape and they're athletes, but they can't even go to parties because, you know, they can't relate to these kids that just drink and do drugs. And these are teenagers. My question is, as a parent of a soon-to-be 16-year-old daughter, where the fuck are these parents? Like, your kids coming home fucking smelling of rum and fucking condoms, and you're telling me that you don't see this? Like, these parents are stupid, and I see these parents, and the reason is they're a bunch of drunken idiots as well. Like, these parents are fucking horrible out here.
Man, I grew up in Western Pennsylvania. Yeah, Southwest Pennsylvania, but Pittsburgh, they'll tailgate any motherfucking thing. Like, they'll tailgate like kids' soccer games, like coolers of beer before the soccer game starts. Like, it's like high school football. Like, the parents are in the parking lot drinking beers from the coolers in the back of the truck. You know, and it's just I grew up like that. Like, I grew up like around alcohol and everything like that up until this past year. Like, I still, don't get me wrong, like, I'm probably even going to have a glass of wine with dinner tonight with the wife. But it's once a month, maybe, I have a glass. I used to drink beer almost every fucking day, even when I was in fitness, you know, just because I grew up, that was like table water. And in this last year, especially, I mean, I used to smoke weed fairly regularly too for my ADHD, and I don't do that anymore at all. It's just once you get away from it, it's not as bad. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I'm never going to smoke weed ever again, or I'm not going to say I'm never going to have a drink ever again. I can tell you this: I don't think I'll ever drink to excess on purpose ever again. Like,
oh my god, like, that's the worst.
Because when I even have a glass of wine, I notice it the next day. Like, I've gotten my body so kind of finely tuned that it's like when you throw something like that in, it doesn't quite sit right. I can imagine it fucking you up, like your joints hurting and everything like that from the information.
I mean, I can eat a fucking wrong vegetable and feel it the next day, you know. There's good and bad to having your body in tune. One is when you see, here's the thing. I tweeted this, and I'll tweet it over and over again. I wish everybody in the world could feel for 1 hour like I feel 24 hours a day. Because then you would switch. You'd be like, you know what? This low blinder guy might be fucking onto something. Like, I have my good days and bad days. My bad days, they're probably everybody else's best days. Like, my bad days mean that I didn't get 15 reps on 150-pound dumbbell bench press. I got 14. You know, like, I crush it. Obviously, lately, I've been waking up sore. I mean, I'm at the point where I'm peaking for a show, and this is when we back off. So just so you know, in case those of you aren't bodybuilding, like, you know, my coach Jose, he has the same philosophy I do. The week from the show, you don't want overinflammation. So our last leg day is actually Sunday. Let the legs calm down. You're still lifting weights, but you're like you're going like 80%. So let's say that you could do 15 reps with the weight, you do 10. Right. So you're basically just going through the motions, getting the pump, getting a workout, getting blood flow, delivering nutrients, maybe stimulating a little bit of something. But that's what it is. So I have really good days, and I want people to feel the way I feel, and that's why I do what I do. And that's why we do what we do. And that's why I preach. And that's why I coach. Because I want these kids, when they're 41 years old, to be beating the shit out of kids their age. Just like I'm doing. And then looking at their peers and saying, you're a bitch. You're just
that's
a bitch.
The thing.
I don't even talk to the parents on my kids' teams. I'm done. I tried. And they don't want me. They don't want me in their group. They just don't fucking want me in their groups. And I'm fine with that. I have headphones. I go do my thing, and that's fine. And I'm nice. Like, if they say, hey, Mark, give our camp, of course I will. Now, there's a couple of people on the teams that I'm really friendly with. There are a couple of guys. I mean, I've talked about my buddy Dibble. He's a good dude. He's one of us. He lifts. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for most of these guys, I just don't have anything in common with someone who works a 9-to-5, goes home, drinks a couple beers, and then when they go to soccer tournaments, they're worried about getting drunk more than they are watching kids play soccer.
I mean, that's the thing too. Be present. Like, I released a video yesterday where it's like people talk about like what's your why? Like, why do you do all this shit and like they're like that? Because like people think that like once you develop it into a lifestyle, it's not a problem. You know, it's not like it's not a hassle. It's like what you do. And my thing is like, man, I want to be like old with my wife and still mobile and shit like that. And I've seen what it does to people. And these folks that are, you know, drinking at their kids' soccer games, missing out on those moments, but also like making it so they're just not going to be able to be present later on. You're going to be sorry. Like society's not like it used to be where it's like, you know, a guy works really, really hard or a girl works really, really hard into their like 60s. And because of a manual labor job and stuff like that, that's why they have problems and they may die younger. Right.
Yeah.
Because they beat themselves down.
So I have nagging back pain and it's not from anything. It's not, I can't look, man, I can single leg Romanian deadlift. You've seen me do this over 100 pounds in each arm.
Oh yeah.
It's crazy. My balance, everything's right. So I got this book. I'm actually reading it. It's called Healing Back Pain. I have the audiobook and the book. After we're done, I'm going to link it down below. It's basically this guy, John Sarno, and it's about healing your pain with your mind. And he talks about repressed memories and childhood. And I'm like, dude, my childhood was fucked.
So yeah,
I think that like there could be some repressed memories. And so my wife, I don't fight my wife. When I went on pre-contest, like the one thing I learned when I was younger and I competed is that I can't be even a little bit of a jerk because then I go over jerk because I'm hungry and I'm tired and I'm sore. And I'm just, so what I do is like, I don't argue with my wife. So I didn't argue, but I'm trying to explain to her this book and she's basically just shitting on it. Now she's old school conservative, but the good news is my wife is set in her ways. And the bad news is my wife is set in her ways. For example, my wife has always been pro-life. It took me 39 years to figure it out. I question and I learn about everything. My wife also, she's very set in her ways, right? Like she's very like, and so she's like, that's bullshit. And I'm like, but you have to learn new things, even if they're bullshit. You have to look at these new theories. I read, dude, if I showed you my reading list, you'd think I'm fucking schizophrenic. Like I read the stupidest shit and I'm all over the place. And I'll read books on fucking universal basic income, all shit I don't believe in, because the point of science, and you and I went over this, and this will actually parlay into a good topic.
Yeah.
The point of science is not to prove a theory, it's to disprove a theory. So when you set up a study that creatine builds muscle, your premise should be to prove that creatine does not build muscle. And that is how science works. That's why if we actually went into this Mexican beer flu talking about the experimental medical procedures, we would actually go into this data and this research, not trying to prove that they work, but Fauci and all those other people should be looking into why they don't work and try to disprove their theory. And then we could come up with actual fucking science. What we're doing now is not science. And that's why I get so offended when they're like, well, Fauci said the other day, well, I'm science. You're science. Like, no scientist has ever said that they're fucking science. Science, and nobody is science. Science is above everything. And all we are just tools. We're tools and we're messengers to relay what science tells us. And the way we actually get science is disproving a theory. So what I'll do is I'll take my firmly held beliefs, let's say capitalism. I spent 3 months in 2019 reading about socialism, reading about universal basic income, reading about communism, reading about all that shit. And after I read it, and they were pro all that stuff, I'm like, this shit's terrible. But I read it with an open mind, and that's why I ask everybody. People are like, oh, you're anti-vax or you're this. And I'm like, no. I'm pro-science. As a pro-science advocate, I am anti-buying shit that I don't have proof of that hasn't been disproven. And nobody is out there attempting to disprove this pseudoscience. I'm done.
I'm not anti-vax. I'm pro-natural immunity. Like, I mean, I'm done with that shit. Like, and I don't mind them labeling me as anti-vax. I really don't. But I'm pro-natural immunity. Like, I want my immune system to work. I want to be exposed to it. I want broad spectrum immunity. You know what I mean? I don't want it to be where every new variant, I need a new upgrade. the new upgrade shit, like we know they've admitted, it's been released. The FDA admitted shit that, you know, or not admitted, but we had to do the Freedom of Information Act, that there is danger to it, which means you should not be able to mandate it. If there's danger to it, you shouldn't be able to mandate it. Like they know that more people have died from this one JB jab than fucking, and you know, any others added together in a long fucking time, right? So it shouldn't be able to be mandated. But I'm pro natural immunity. I'll gladly take the risk. And if it gets me, all these fucking people that don't like me get to celebrate. You know what I mean? Like that's the thing. Like I don't understand the downside for anybody. allow me to fucking, like, allow me to fucking take the chance. And if it gets me, you guys get to fucking celebrate. Like, I'm, it's a win-win for you motherfuckers.
Dude,
you
know? I think this Sophia came from your channel. I'm going
to put did. She did.
Up there. Let's just let people, let's not even address it, dude. Because
well, like it came from, she was just so everybody knows, she was on another one of my lives, and I took the excerpts of me saying, basically, like, it's the same shit, Mark, that, you know, and you're used to this because me and you've been talking about obesity a lot. They say that we don't care about them, we want them to die, and this and that. And my thing about it is, like, I don't give a fuck about you. Like, I mean, like, I don't know who you are. You're a blob.
I don't care enough about you to want you dead. Like, I didn't wake up this morning. I woke up this morning, and did you see my Instagram? I post the dumbest shit. That's why I'm not a good influencer. Yeah. I posted a picture of my dog by the Christmas tree because I saw it and my heart warmed up. That's what I care about in the morning. I don't give a fuck about Sophia's fat ass. I just fucking don't, Sophia.
Like, well, the thing is, Sophia doesn't give a fuck about her fat ass, or she wouldn't be a fucking fat ass.
I mean, yeah, so. you're not wrong.
That was the point of my video. Like, why should I give a fuck about you when you don't give a fuck about you? If you don't give enough of a fuck about you, why should I?
So masks do work. So I suggest you cover your mouth with a mask so you don't eat so much. Okay. But anyway, can I? I've been wanting to do this all week. I don't know if you know what I'm going to do, but Omicron. Bro, this is the greatest news ever. We literally have a weak-ass thing that will give us all natural immunity to all of them. I think this is the fucking – this is God. This is God at work. Hold on. Let me break out my Jewish star. All right. Yahweh.
Yahweh? How people don't see this as as the end. Like, it's the end. TikTok took that video down that I did. But it's literally like it's the weaker version of a weaker version of something weaker than the fucking seasonal flu to healthy people. You know, like – like, literally, it's the weaker version of a weaker version of something that's weaker than the seasonal flu to healthy people that gives us natural immunity. Like, this is the fucking win. First, we should have, I still say from the very fucking beginning, people, from the very beginning, we should have told the elderly and the sickly that were too fucking terrified to stay the fuck in and let everybody else get the fucking rolling around on each other and having a good fucking time.
Don't roll around with Sophia. She will not, you will not end up in a good spot.
No, absolutely not.
In that book I showed you earlier, that will not heal your broken back.
No. I believe the book you read earlier. Does it talk about any? Talk about how memories like that have stress, and stress can be part of the back.
So basically, it manifests itself, and it's not TDS. It's let me get the actual word, but it's a tense TMS. Tense muscle, tensory myo disorder, something, right? And he had big words too. But I'm not listening for the words. I'm listening for the take home. And basically, all this stress and tension manifests itself in your back. And they did these studies. It actually has some peer-reviewed studies. I looked them up while I was listening to it, because I was listening to it in the sauna last night. And there's some great studies on, like, you know, that someone's like, doctor, give me this pill, and it takes away the pain. And then what will happen is it's placebo. And then he'll watch on the news, the pill doesn't work. Then all of a sudden the pain comes back. So basically we're told that our back is this fragile fucking, like, oh my God, if you pick up a pencil wrong, you're going to fuck up your back. So we're living. And the thing is, back pain, just like obesity, wasn't a thing 50 years ago, and obesity will fuck up your back. My wife's fake tits fucked up her back, because obviously, like, carrying around a 10-pound sack of tits around your front, you know, that's not good for you. Mm-hmm. So I think that honestly, I've seen people, and I've known people who've literally cured cancer with prayer. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it, as someone who believes in God, I don't think it's God. I think that your mind can literally cure almost anything. And I'm not going to say go out and believe in something and don't go seek medical help, but I've seen it myself. And there are documented cases. I actually had a doctor, Dr. Chung. He was a friend of Dr. Stuart Wee, who was my movement specialist guy. And so I went to him as my general practitioner in St. Charles, Illinois. And he was the best GP you will ever meet. Alan, you would have fucking gone to this guy every year and loved it. This guy's like, he went to seminars on healing with prayer. He went to seminars on all this. He did acupuncture. He was a general practitioner who literally, I came up to him and I'm like, well, what should I do about this? He's like, well, I mean, can you tell yourself that that's not a problem? I'm like, well, let's try it. And it actually worked. Like, this guy was just amazing. And so I think that there's definitely validity in the mind. Now, I'm not saying if you break your back to try and think yourself healed. I'm not saying if you tear an ACL to try and think yourself healed. What I'm saying is that there's a lot of shit that goes on that if you get, let's say you go to the doctor and you get scanned, there's nothing wrong with your back, like me. There's nothing wrong with my fucking back. Yet I have this lower back pain, and it's actually affecting my training. And I'll tell you what, I started listening to the book on Wednesday. Started reading the book. I'm reading and listening. I'm double donging it because there's
for me double donging.
Well, I have ADHD like you, so sometimes I'll read, but I won't actually read. And listen. So I figure if I do both, I'll do better. So that's why I've been sharing the Amazon link, but you could also get it on Apple Books. So I have it on both. But and I recommend reading and listening if you can, because a lot of times you don't absorb information. And I'll tell you what, I went in and trained back today. And I actually did some deep breathing meditation, which he does not recommend, but I did that beforehand. And it was the most pain-free workout. And I rode 315, which is a lot of fucking weight with zero pain. And I haven't changed anything. I'm still taking my machine motion, still taking my Muendo, still doing all that shit. And it's just for some reason, just explaining how this works. And a lot of people, I read reviews on this book, and they're saying that just simply listening to the book and having it explained to you, he even says in the book, just having the process explained to you can cure your symptoms. And he has thousands of people he's done this on. So, I mean, I'm cautiously optimistic. I'll do a book review after I'm done with it. But if this works, I mean, it's literally for the audiobook and the book, it's going to cost you $15 for both of them combined. You're good. Like, fucking buy it. It's a no-cost treatment.
It's like my wife does a guided meditation. It's called Yoga Nidra, right? And it's like it's so strange because you don't notice the tension you hold in your body a lot of times until it's brought to your attention. Like I'll be laying there and like one of the things she'll talk about, like, okay, make sure you relax your jaw. Like I never realized how much tension I always carry it like in my jaw, like when you all of a sudden relax. I do the same thing with my lower back. I use it for my sciatic because I do get some sciatic pain. And I totally believe that a lot of it is how we focus our bodies and everything like that. These guys are disagreeing with everything. Come on now. Yeah, I mean, I gotta say this, and this is not to toot either of our horns, but fucking toot toot, motherfuckers. Show me a statement I have said that's been proven factually wrong. I predicted the fucking IFR of this motherfucker. I said it's more transmissible than the flu, but also less deadly than the flu for healthy people. I said this is a pandemic of the fucking elderly and obese before that even fucking came out. Fucking like toot toot, motherfuckers. Like and people can dislike me for it and all they want, but motherfuckers, like for real. Like I have said, I told you so, and been able to post fucking the scoreboard so many motherfucking times.
It's we have a disgusting. Fat. We literally have a NFL lineman sized fat person telling us about treatments that. And so homeopathy, I'm not really a fan of, but I there is actual data, and I would point to a placebo effect mostly for homeopathy. But let me tell you, I actually almost got sued by an HGH company. I was given a heads up by a friend who was consulting with them. Believe it or not, I think I can say it now. Basically, I did a video on how it's a scam and how homeopathy is a scam. And I'm not a fan. However, I am a huge fan of placebo because it works. Yeah. Like the old sugar pill. So I don't believe in ripping people off, but I love this. Sophia, you've made this show so much
fun. I will also say this too, that homeopathy is one step away from Ayurvedic medicine. And Ayurvedic medicine is basically the use of herbs and teas and stuff like that. And Ayurvedic medicine is the basis of supplement of the modern supplement industry. Ayurvedic medicine, like that's why people used to eat fenugreek. Now people just take fenugreek extracts. People used to eat fenugreek a lot because they would then their body would help produce more testosterone. Now we just have fenugreek extracts like testolone and stuff like that. You know what I mean? I did want to address this one. This guy said the downside, because when I talked about everybody getting it, he said the downside is that you may spread it to others. That's nature. That's what we're supposed to do. You're supposed to expose your system. You're supposed to be healthy enough to expose your system to different communicable diseases, and then you build immunity from it. That's how we're going to get through this. If you think you are going to go through your life and not ever get an endemic virus, if you've never had a cold or you've never had the flu, if you've never had anything in those lives in your life, you better fucking contain yourself. Like you need to isolate right now because you're going to die because your system has no fucking built up for it. But you want it. Like chances are a huge portion of people, and this is science that was forgotten, but a huge portion of people already had T cell immunity to the beer flu. Like they already had innate immunity because they've been exposed to a common cold so many times in their life, and the beer flu has about an 80% genetic makeup similar to the common flu or the common cold. Like the idea is to get it. Like I would take it right if I haven't had it already, which I'm pretty sure I have. But if I haven't had it already, I want it like right now because that's what nature is. And I hate to say this, I know this sounds really, really, really bad, but people are going to die from this because guess what? That's nature. It is actually nature culling the herd. I mean, it just fucking is.
I had to block her, Alan.
She'll fucking go on and on. Dude. Like I was going to tell you,
can't be real. Nobody, she said, because she's basically saying what we said. That's right. Yeah. I'm okay with that. But speaking of just pure evil, let's talk about the Cuomos.
Pure fucking evil.
So here's what I'm getting at. Now, Chris, what you find out with Andrew and his sexual harassment and Chris and using his job to actually dox people for his brother's benefit, those are things that you and I would never do. These people are evil. Like the reason they're finding all this stuff isn't because they're being set up. It's because they do so many evil things that all someone has to do is just want them exposed. I have no doubt that Chris Cuomo has done more than that. I wouldn't limit it to fiddling kids. I wouldn't limit it to murder. This guy is a psychopath, and that's why I'd love to fight him. He's just a psychopath. He's a mean, evil, manipulative, selfish, narcissistic individual. And what you're seeing is just, and just like Andrew Cuomo, they get these God complexes. And of course their dad had a God complex as well. So they're bred into this family of elitism and evil. And what we're seeing now is basically the same thing you're seeing with Aaron Singerman from Redcon One, a guy who literally rats on people, cops a plea, and then he's above the law. So he goes and with his kid in the boat, crashes a boat in a BUI, a boating under the influence, and destroys property. And it's a psychopathic mentality, right? It's sociopathic or psychopathic. These people, when they have that tendency, they will stop at nothing short of murder, of rape, of harassment, of embezzlement, of whatever it takes to fulfill their narcissistic fantasies.
The thing about Cuomo, did you see the video I sent you where he's like almost getting into a bar fight because one guy called him Fredo?
Yeah, I'd love
to. Let me tell you something. I have been in, people can say what they want, but I've been in lots of bar fights. Like I've got the scars all over my face and had to fucking prove it, right? That man is terrified of fighting. Are you telling me that somehow as soon as that guy took his glasses off and said, I ain't going nowhere, I'm not punking out, all of a sudden, Cuomo ends up behind three fucking dudes.
Yeah.
The second the guy takes his glasses off, he was like, oh, you want me to hit you so you can sue me? You're all fucking ready to go. And then all of a sudden you're talking about getting sued. You're talking about lawyers and shit like that. And then all of a sudden you're like three dudes are holding you back. You're talking about it went from throwing the dude down the stairs to like, you're saying you're going to throw this dude down the stairs to these three guys are holding you back. Chris Cuomo's a pussy.
I don't like the tough guy thing. I mean, I don't fight. Like, I want to fight Cuomo in a boxing ring. Yeah. I don't want to meet him. I wouldn't fight him because then I get sued. I don't want to get sued. And also, I fight in controlled settings. Right. That's what fighters do. You will never find a real MMA fighter or boxer unless they're defending. Like, you see that woman who took down one of the Antifa guys who just fucking rumped in. She's actually Tara. Tara's her name. She's fucking awesome. You know, at the end of the day, fighters don't just do that. Fighters don't go out and be like, hey, I'm going to beat you up. I'm challenging Cuomo to a charity match. I know somebody's like, oh, what about the money? Dude, I've never, ever taken money for like the charity match at Rumble in the Borough. We raised over $50,000. Okay. And I fought for free.
Yeah.
And that and that's what you do. So if we had something big, I would never profit off of a pay-per-view. I wouldn't, even if I got in a Jake Paul or a Logan Paul, I would, which I never would because I'm a nobody, but if let's say I got 10 million from one of those fights, that would all go to charity every single dime. I would pick a charity and I would make it rain on them because they need it more than I do. I'm doing just fine. I don't need a more lavish lifestyle. These people who need help need the help. Now Cuomo, that motherfucker would bank it in his pocket because he's a sociopath.
I cannot believe that people are in any way fucking defending him, by the way. He was using his resources to try to fucking shame people that his brother fucking sexually assaulted. And the fuck it, here's the fucked up thing, by the way. The absolute fucked up thing is that his brother should be in jail for what they did with the fucking nursing homes.
Yeah.
I mean, the sexual harassment shit is horrible. I am not downplaying it at all whatsoever. But that motherfucker killed people. I mean, I know we're probably not supposed to say that, but he is responsible for the death.
He absolutely murdered those people. Absolutely.
He is responsible for the deaths of thousands of people. Yeah. Thousands, you know? Fuck him. You know, I mean, the fucked up thing is, and I was talking about this earlier too, dude, we've reached a stage where we are living in two realities. There are two absolute realities going on, right? There's the reality of, I want to be free. This is not as dangerous as people are saying it is. Me and you said it from the very fucking beginning. Like, it's been nice. I got to be real. This last couple of months has been nice. More and more people join us in our reality.
Every day,
right? And it's been nice because now it's reduced down to these pathetic people that we're giving them timeouts and shit like that, right?
Well, I blocked the one guy. Or else our entire podcast becomes us yelling at people.
Yeah, and the reality of it is, dude, on my lives, I use them as a way to make a statement. But in reality, it's not worth it. Like, if you want to make videos about us, I say this to people all the time too. I'm not silencing you. You can feel free to make a video about me. Absolutely, because all your video is going to do is push people over to me, and then they can listen to me. But I'm not going to give you don't get to have our platform. You can make your own.
I love it, dude. I love it. And that's what I do. I think we've always done that. Like, if someone's like, oh, I thought you were freedom of speech. I am. You have an account. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean you come on mine. Like, I block people. Like, I posted that. I did a video on the post. I posted about, literally said, hey, if you're going to drink, have at it, but just know there's risks. I had people come in and just say the most mean things. And it was the most fucking innocent bullshit post.
Yeah.
Like, hey, man. Like, me, bad shit can happen. If you can avoid drinking, avoid drinking. I blocked probably 20 people. Look, if you want to be pro-alcohol, do it on someone else's time. And if you want to be pro-alcohol, don't be like, well, you're on a ton of steroids. First of all, that's a lie. That's slander. I'm not on a ton of steroids. I'm on doctor-prescribed HRT. I'm not going to sit back and let somebody lie about me because I got my students reading this, right? Yeah. And they're going to be like, wait, Coach Mark, what are you on? And then I'm like, those are just internet trolls, son. You know, it's like, come on.
Right. I mean, that's the problem when it comes to shit like that, where all of a sudden it becomes where they'll just openly slander you and they act like you cannot respond back. And then when you do, they're like, oh, that's why the natty or not things I've always thought are pathetic too, because it is an accusation that cannot be ever quelled. It's an accusation that can't be answered.
Look at me. You know? I've literally posted blood work and my prescriptions. I can't do anymore. Like, if I was on the shit people said I'm on, my blood work would not be what it is.
Well, when people can, I had a friend and somebody, like a couple friends of people accused about that. I was like, here's what you need to accept. Once somebody says you're on something, you might as well just say, think whatever you want. Because you, especially, and the more famous you are, the worse it is. But like, they can literally take a camera, follow you, watch you go to the bathroom, follow you in with the camera, watch the urine come out of your fucking penis into the cup, watch the cup, take it to the fucking lab. And they would still accuse you of buying off the fucking lab technician or something like that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's or you just can't. And then the best one is, well, you came off it just for this. Like, once it's to that stage, it's to that stage. Like, I'll do it more and more probably as we go on. But the reality is, like, I'm not a big, like, take my shirt off and post, you know, post my pictures. I've never been, right? But I did for, like, the sake of, like, social proof, post some shirtless pictures. So it immediately, and I mean fucking immediately, came in like, oh, well, somebody got your hormones right and some of this. First of all, if that's what it is, if that's what it was, good, motherfuckers, good.
I'm so happy that we have technology and we have, that's why people are like, oh, well, you know, homeopathy. I'm like, dude, I'm on like fucking synthetic testosterone. Like, I'm not one of those guys. Like, but I do a lot of hippie shit. Like, I am a hippie. Like, I think I've made, and Alan, like, literally does yoga, but us combined, we are fucking hippies. Like, I'm like, hey, Alan, so check this out. So I'm meditating pre-workout now, and it's really awesome. Everybody thinks we're like not, a lot of our shit is like, the thing is, if something fucking works, who fucking cares? Like, I'm not trying to fit a fucking, I want to live my best life. I don't give a fuck if that means doing Jane Fonda's fucking inner thigh workout. I don't care if it means taking a cold shower to the point where my balls are shriveled till fucking 3 p.m. I don't care what it takes. I want to live my best life, and there's nothing that's going to fucking stop me. And somebody, you know, accusing me of whatever. Look, dude, I'm on HRT and I fucking love it. Every, you know, once a week I take my testosterone shot, and then every night, 5 nights a week, I take my HGH. The reason I can't take it in the morning is because it makes me hypoglycemic, because I'm extremely insulin sensitive. Mm-hmm. I'm doing a video on this. I stopped taking metformin, Alan.
Did you?
Yeah, I'm only taking Nutrien Driver, and here's why. There's a lot of issues with ATP cycling, and berberine has the exact same mechanism of action. So I have taken metformin out, and now my energy levels have gotten even better, and I feel better, but I can't take two drivers at once. So I take one with breakfast, which is my pre-workout meal, one post-workout, then another two with two of my carb meals. So I've been taking Nutrient Driver instead. We're out of stock. We should have it soon, but I'm done with metformin for time, at least for time being. And
I combine berberine and gynostemma.
Gynostemma is great.
Yeah, but that's when people talk about that shit. Like, and this is a good segue into into the FDA. Like, I'm not above pharmaceutical help, like, at all. Like, if it can lead, like, I can guarantee you probably by midsummer I'll be on TRT. I can guarantee that shit 100%.
It's fucking great, dude. Like, everything's right. Like, and if you don't need HRT, don't do it. And I can't say that enough. I'm not against people just taking drugs to take drugs, but if something can help, like, you and I should probably be on ADHD medication, but we're not, because we figured out how to work with it. I don't want to cure ADHD.
Fuck that. I take away my superpower.
Dude, I'll tell you what, every morning I wake up, have my health shake, I throw a scoop of Mental Jewels in it. I'm good. I'm good. And then I'll take, and then later in the day as a pick me up, I'll take a scoop of Kinetic. So I'm basically getting two of those mental jolts a day.
Right.
And what I'll do is, again, like, if I'm going to read a book, I also get the audio book, because I will literally, I did this before. I listened to an entire book while driving, and I had no idea. I couldn't explain one fucking part of the book. And I'm like, I need to read this shit. Then I read it, and I found that during reading, I'm reading the words, they're going into my head, but they're fucking coming out the other fucking side. And I don't know what I just read, but I read it.
It happens. Yeah. You know, but, the thing we were talking about, like, I'm not above pharmaceutical. And for a lot of people, like bipolar, especially borderline personality disorder, or if you have a serious heart defect or something like that, maybe be like medication and pharmaceuticals.
Myocarditis.
Or myocarditis. There's a lot of people that are going to need some heart medication real fucking soon.
Made by Pfizer.
Pfizer. No shit. But
the problem and the cure.
But in reality, here's why I don't trust the healthcare industry. One, because I was in it. But two, I don't trust the FDA, because look at all the stuff FDA recalls. But I think it's like 6 clients still that are either endocrinologists, or they deal with people with diabetes, type 2 diabetes, as a living. Like, that's their job, right? You know, almost none of them had ever heard of berberine. Like, they had never even heard of it, not in any of their training. And that's a fucking crime, because metformin has side effects for a lot of people, like fairly serious side effects for a lot of people. It's not, you know, and they prescribe it like it's fucking candy, right?
Yeah.
But berberine and gynostemma, both independently, not together, but independently, have been shown in human tested studies to have just as much, if not a better effect, on blood sugar regulation, insulin sensitivity, as metformin. And taking TID and the proper dosage and everything like that at the proper efficacy, you know? But so you're telling me this shit comes from nature. One is gynostem is a plant extract, and berberine, I believe it comes from sodium, a certain type of sodium, right?
I have to look at the origins of it. It's on the bottle. I got it.
Yeah. But these two things which occur in nature, and yes, it's processed, but it is an extract. So it's a concentrated form of a natural thing, are not even discussed. like, I'll take every advantage I can get without having to depend on the FDA's word on anything.
It's an ammonium salt.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, it's an ammonium salt. And the thing is, what I like about berberine, let's say if someone's on 500 milligrams of metformin, they can actually add berberine. I sent you that study when I was in Buffalo with Cammy. I remember going to the hotel room and sending it to you because I was so excited. It was actually North Carolina. We had a tournament in North Carolina, and it was Cammy or Tom, one of the two. And I remember sending it to you, and I'm like, dude, look at this. So basically, you can take less metformin when you take berberine, so you can actually have less of the side effects if it does mess you up a little bit. And that's the thing, is that we everybody's like, dietary supplement industry is unregulated. You're full of shit. You know what the fuck you're talking about. Now, you do have some shady ass brands who don't follow the rules. Everything we make, including the shit Alan and I are coming out with in the next probably 8 weeks, we're pushing it through. Everything's ready. The design's going. If you guys haven't known, we're coming out with something that will change. It will save, not change, it will save people's lives. Save people's lives. And we're going to make it affordable. It's going to be great. For what it is, it's, oh my God, this is so long in the making. And we finally figured it out. I can't wait to tell you guys about it. But, you know, where we make our stuff, if you look at look at Ambrosia, for example, all the certifications we have, it costs us probably 40% more than other brands to make our products because of the lengthy and fucking tedious processes we go through. So when you buy our stuff, you know, it is not only NSF, but it's also FDA regulated. It is made in an FDA facility and it is audited. In fact, where we're making this product actually has an on-site FDA advisor.
Wow. My thing about the FDA is fuck them right now. Like, I mean,
hey Alan, we don't need to get them on our bad side though.
I know. But here's the reality. 108 days for approval of a brand new medication, and then they went 55 fucking years to release the information. That's some sketchy shit, people. Like if you can't see the
55 years, but you had that one senator actually file to release it immediately within the month. I forgot which guy, I forgot which state, but I read it this morning on the Blaze, and we need to see that. Like, I can't believe we haven't had riots over that. 55 years. If I took that fucking shot, I would be so fucking furious. Now, I got to tell you. So just in my neighborhood, I told you this. I have a neighbor. Not only that, I had one girl who had to go see a specialist in Wisconsin due to side effects. And another guy who is actually, he works as a contractor for hospitals. So he doesn't work for the hospital, but he does stuff for the hospitals in regards to building shit. He can't use his right arm. He can't use his right arm. So he is reported it. It is an AER. I have another neighbor who's having a huge reaction because she has breast implants. And what happened?
Fuck. I didn't even thought about that shit.
So my wife actually sent some data to me. It was actually shared on a breast implant group she belongs to on Instagram and Facebook, where the spike proteins, and you think about what the breast implant is, it's a foreign invader. They will fight with each other. It's absolutely insane. So we have a neighbor who has literally this buildup of scar tissue and VAT after getting the Mexican beer flu shot. After getting that, and she has implants, and she cannot lose weight. So it's actually caused her some PCOS symptoms. In my neighborhood, and we're in a neighborhood that's probably 50 to 60% vaxxed, I can't even count on two hands the amount of adverse events in my neighborhood, neighborhood. And, you know, they're like, well, I had to keep my job. I'm like, there's so many jobs. Dave Ramsey did a great piece on that. He's like, you could get a job making more than you're making now, 100%. There's plenty of companies who are like, we're not doing it, like us.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, though, too. Like, it's so prevalent. Like, that's my thing. Like, it is so many people have issues. The thing about the breast implants, me and you were even talking about that. Like, I woke up the one morning, I was thinking about it. Like, oxidative stress is a real fucking thing. You know what I mean? Like, so when a person is trying to lose weight, but they also have their, and it's like, the idea is when person is morbidly obese, one of the reasons why they're having a hard time with their health is because they're in a constant state of inflammation. And there's a difference between acute inflammation and chronic inflammation. They're in a chronic state of inflammation, which is very, very bad. Like, you're in a state of inflammation 24 hours a day.
Look at the picture I posted of me and my wife yesterday. She looks like a I hug her and I get my arms around her. She's lost a ton of weight. Dude, Alan, you know how I train. She trained with me all week, but for today, because she's going to die. We literally did 67 to 69 minutes. Yeah, those are the exact times because I timed.
Yeah, baby.
of straight supersets, because I didn't want to go heavy. So I mean, we probably did 80 sets, and she hung with me the entire time. My wife would have literally died. She tried to do that before the explant. Now there's also, I also want to say one more thing. You know what's FDA approved? Breast implants. And now I want you guys to go online and look up these groups. There are millions of women. I know over 10 women, including Phil Heath's wife, including Brandy Curry's wife, and Brandy. I don't want to just make them like, hey, you're Brandon's wife. That's kind of demeaning. Yeah. But while Cherie, so I talked to, these are all good friends of ours. Like we have really, really good friends. And Cherie is just amazing. And Brandy's our business partner. And these women, like Cherie almost died from breast implants. And these are healthy women, healthy, attractive, young. They're under 50, right? And these women, and FDA approved breast implants. So I just want you to put that through your head. You have three fit, healthy, regular exercising women in the fitness industry who had severe, nearly life-threatening, for Cherie it was life-threatening, breast implant issues in my immediate circle, and they are FDA approved.
Yeah. I mean, and when they have, like, it's the same thing. So I think that it puts a person in a state of chronic inflammation because they're registered as a foreign substance that's constantly in the body, the foreign thing that's constantly in the body. So they're trying, basically, your body's trying to fight it off. So it releases the same type of macrophages and everything like that. They're spawning each other out of assholes. It's more than likely when that happens, just so, and people that aren't watching this don't know, but we keep getting troll comments. When that happens, it's likely one or two people that just have many, 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 many accounts. That's one of the things. That's one of the problems with the anonymity that YouTube gives.
But I love that. I love dude. I love YouTube. Hey, dude, how about Rumble? We got to talk about that. So Rumble got acquired by a company, and everybody's like, "You should go on Rumble. It's not going to be. It's not. It's going to be free and this and that." Dude, they you saw how fast fucking Parler started fucking going to tyrannical. Dude, at the end of the day, YouTube, you know, we'll get shit blocked here and there, but it gives us a platform. And it's a fucking platform. If they have an issue with that, you know, it's their right to do it. You know, it's like this is what it is. I would like there to be a competition, but dude, like whoever started Rumble didn't start it to have freedom. They started it to sell it to a larger company to make a ton of cash.
Yeah.
And that's what we all do. Like everybody does. Like, dude, Hershey bought One Bar for $397 million. One Bar wasn't like, I'm not selling to candy bar companies. They give you diabetes. No, he's like $397 million.
Yeah.
Dude, if Hershey gave me $397 million for Outright Bar, I'd be like, I don't give a fuck if you put the fucking chocolate kiss in the fucking bar. I don't give a fuck. At the end of the day, $397 million. Every business is started with the intention of, so when you start a business, I didn't know this till after I sold my first business. But my CPA, David Pope, he's like, you guys need it. I remember he's on the phone with me and Chad. He goes, what's your exit strategy? Chad and I looked at each other and we're like, the fuck is he talking about? He's like, you need to set a number. You need to have an exit strategy. And it can always be adjusted, but you need to have one. So when Rumble went in, their thing is, okay, we need to get to X number. We need to sell for this. So what happened is, and I know this is what happened because you could tell to launch something like that, you have to have the server space. That's a seven-figure investment just to launch it. Okay, right. So you know, even our brand is going to be a multi-six-figure launch. You know, I mean, it costs money to do the marketing, the packaging, the manufacturing. And we're not a fucking video platform. Like, this is a fucking $1 to $10 million launch. So they sat down and they're like, hey, look, you know, we want to sell for this. And then they're going along. They're like, dude, YouTube's fucking banning shit. Let's go. Rumble is the fucking America, fucking freedom, fucking conservatives. And once they utilize those useful idiots like Dan Bongino, who I love, and I'm saying useful idiots because they kind of got played because right now they didn't put their shit on YouTube enough and they're not established on YouTube and they're going to have a server that's going to do exactly what YouTube did. Now, the one who stayed true is Spotify, which, by the way, you got to subscribe to us on Spotify, where they're letting Rogan do whatever the fuck he wants. And no matter what, their employees stay.
Yeah, that's the thing. I do think that when Truth Social comes out, it will be the same, just the pendulum swung the other way. Like, I mean, there are certain liabilities too. People don't understand. Like, I get why they do this shit. You know what I mean? Like, if 230 gets knocked out, it could almost be worse because then the very second that a platform can actually get sued for the shit that's said on the platform,
it's
a problem. Well, we need to see, we need to have what would be considered a town hall. You know what I mean? Like if there's a town hall amendment that allows people, it's an area of freedom of speech, where basically anything that does not directly incite violence can be spoken. And if you don't like it, just don't fucking watch it. That would work. But that would need special protection, you know? And of course, that's another thing too, where people are trying to redefine what is actual violence. Like the word obesity is violence. Like, no, violence is violence. Like,
punching Chris Cuomo in the fucking face.
Yeah, no,
that's
shit.
That's violence, no, dude. I gotta admit, it wasn't full, but I got a partial boner just thinking about that.
I gotta say, I got a little aroused thinking about it.
You know, Bo Lewis got a partial boner, knocked over a lamp the other day.
Did he?
We're gonna have a Bo Lewis fucking reference. Everything. Yeah. People are gonna look him up. So Bo Lewis is a good friend. He lives local. He lives in Tennessee. And if you Google him, you'll understand what we're talking about, because he's the guy. Like, and he doesn't want to be the guy. Like, yeah. But he was a funny story. He was guest posing at Flex Lewis's show out here. And he came out and it was him, his trunks, and his penis. And Flex is like, you got to put on new trunks. So Flex got him bigger trunks. Flex looks at him. He goes, it's not the trunks.
It's not the trunks.
So funny. So funny. But, you know, I am excited. See, what I like, and hear me out, like this is a little bit of this is a reach, but what I like about Trump's platform is the same reason I like the carnivore diet. And I know you might be thinking, Mark, you need to stop fucking eating those edibles that you got when you were in California. But I'm like, hear me out. So the carnivore, so vegans for years, they gave me death threats simply for eating a steak on my channel. Like, you remember Vegan Gains went at me.
Yeah.
He literally murdered my kids in a skit. Like, this guy's a very interesting individual. I harbor no hate. He's doing his grift. God bless him.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, he weighs 130 pounds. I don't think he's going to kill anybody.
Oh, he's thick now.
Oh, so you think he's got on the juicy juice?
I don't know. I have given up watching. You finish your story and I'll tell you something funny that happened to me today. So.
But basically what carnivore did is it provided the other side just as much crazy as the vegans. So the vegans are fucking nuts and they're wrong 90% of the time. The carnivores are fucking nuts and they're wrong 90% of the time. So if they're both here, we meet somewhere in the middle. Because they're both fucking nuts. So they can argue with each other, and then the vegans don't come after a balanced guy like me. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I hear you. Somebody asked that I said I'd never take the jab if it's not FDA approved. I never said that. I said I wasn't taking it. Like, check the shit. I said I posted my receipts about that on Twitter last week. I said I wasn't taking it. Like, I said I wasn't taking anything rushed to market, period. Like, I'm not fucking taking it. And I don't, for something that's less deadly than the seasonal flu to me, I'm not taking it.
No,
that's been my serious stance. So you can make up words that I fucking said all you fucking want, but I actually posted that shit on fucking Twitter. Like my old tweets, I reposted them on Twitter last week because I'm not gonna fucking I have stuck true to everything I've said, literally. And I will say this: in the last year, the FDA has also showed their fucking cards to be way, and I'm talking way, way, way more fucking corrupt. Way more corrupt than ever thought before. It just became much more public. So have at that. So you're going to now go away. Anyway, but what happened to me today? So I have a love-hate relationship with TikTok. I'm on like my fifth account, and I go viral just about every other fucking post I make.
You're good at TikTok. That's the thing. You're really good. I'm not.
And like, so what happens is normally I'll start going viral, and all of a sudden you'll see me get like 2,000 subscribers a day, 3,000 subscribers the next day, 4,000 subscribers the next day. They delete the channel. Like, that's normally what happens, right? So my fifth iteration of my TikTok has started to take off, right? And apparently, Doucette, Greg, our friend Greg, he did a TikTok about a girl who complained about guys approaching her at the gas station, right? Like, don't do that. You'll try to approach me, like, and get my number at a gas station. Which, first of all, gentlemen, and I'm going to refer to everybody listening as gentlemen. Depending on how this woman was raised, if you approach a woman and where you're at in the country. If you approach a woman at a gas station and you come on a little too strong, technically, some places they could shoot you because they feel threatened because it's a stand your ground state. And women that are alone by themselves, when approached by men by themselves, can feel threatened. I know that sounds fucking crazy, but it's and carjackings are a real thing and stuff like that. And his basic premise was, you know, men's number one fear is being rejected. Now, me, that's never been my number one fear, but also Greg's a clown, in my opinion, right? And I know that upsets people. He's this, he's that, blah, blah, blah. And I find him, I think he's done a good job of this character he's created, all that stuff, right? But there is this other fucking whack nut clown on fucking TikTok who goes by the name Modern Warrior, and he's an indigenous person. And everybody, all white people are colonizers, and he's basically racist towards white people, right? And everybody's a colonizer. So he made a video about Greg, about this thing, right? Okay. So I got tagged on this video 100 times asking me to help Greg Doucette. Are you just going to let him, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, it's like a clown war. Like, why? Like, the two fucking clowns arguing, why the fuck am I going to step in there? The only person I agree with out of this whole fucking scenario is the girl. You know what I mean? Like, it's weird how, like, people think, like, I find the world we live in right now to be very crazy. But, I mean, extremely nuts, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, where do you approach girls? Like, if you're single, like, where, like, it depends how you do it. Like, I'm not obviously picking girls up, but I make small talk with people, you know, at places like grocery stores and gas stations. Is there a way to do it where you're harmless and you're just, hey, you know, whatever it is, you know, I mean, usually I'll say something benign, you know, just to start a conversation with people, and it's usually fine. It's a great day out, isn't it? Wow, this sunlight's great. You know, I do that all the time everywhere I go. I don't know. It depends where you're at. Like, if you're in Franklin, Tennessee, people have their guard down here. But if you're doing it in, like, Inglewood, California, you're going to get shot.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah.
I mean, he's in Canada, and they don't have guns up there. So I can see where he's, like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, excuse me. I think – I mean, I actually have thought about this. Like, where do people, if you're not doing online dating, where do you meet people? And everybody I know, it seems they've met people on these online dating sites. It's like, you know, and so you have to approach them somewhere. And I don't know if the gym's the place, because that might not be the best place to pick up a mate, you know, or a partner. So if you're single, and let's say you're not in the fitness industry, because obviously it's easier if you're in my industry, right? But, like, where do you actually meet somebody if you're not online dating? And it has to be the grocery store. You don't want to pick up a girl at a bar. You know, it has to be the gas station. Basically, where do you go with people when you get out of the car? Nobody hangs out at the mall anymore. But we all have cars, and we all get gas. So if you see a girl who's, like, you know, attractive, and, you know, you look and there's no ring, there's got to be a way, because that's how we did it back in the day, where you can talk to somebody. But a lot of dudes are just creepy and awkward because social media has made it where people have no interpersonal skills.
Yeah, I have. I mean, luckily, I don't have. I don't know. I don't have to know. Like, because I can't imagine either. Because the world's so fucked up now. That's like, it's so much more complicated. Because, like, hey, you know, person. Because, like, you don't know if they're one of those people that, like, gets really, really, really offended by, like, you know. They might be a they, even though they look like a girl, or they might be a, you know, I mean, like, I don't know. And, like, I mean, that's another thing too. Like, it's a whole other level of complication. And then it's like, you know, it's almost weird because, like, do you have to actually ask, like, hey, just so you know, I mean, like, I'm into women that don't have penises. And, like, I mean, like, cause, you know, like it's a necessary, like, dating just got to be so complicated.
There's not that many transvestites or transgender. I don't know what they're called anymore even, but I mean, it's a small.
You said transvestite. We're getting canceled now. I can guarantee that shit.
Transgender, I'm sorry. When I was a kid, it was transgender.
Same here.
Transgender, I'm sorry. I don't say it much. I usually don't go on that topic. But it's such a small percentage of the population that if I was talking to a female, and you can normally tell with jawline and stuff, there are some who look obviously amazing. We've talked about that. There are some with, like, women, you could usually tell when you're talking to a girl. And I would just be like, hey, you got to meet women somewhere. So I'm not going to be against the gas station pickup. You just can't be weird about it. Like, I'll tell you what, I had a 10-minute conversation with a random chick at a gas station, just obviously not about dating her, but just about random shit. And I found out her kid plays travel soccer and we're talking, and obviously it's different. Maybe I just look unarmed, unassuming, and just like a fucking soccer dad. But like, you know, there's got to be a way, because if you don't meet girls at the gas station and the fucking grocery store, like, where are you going to meet girls?
Casey just pointed out that one of the comments just pointed out something else. Having the beer flu jab is now a dating preference for people. It's like factors in. That's crazy.
Honestly, if I was dating, I wouldn't want a girl who's had the vaccine because of the reproductive stuff.
Yeah. Like, I mean, not only that, but like, this is what's going to upset a lot of people. Are you jab or not jab? What a great open line. That's funny. But,
Andrew, good work.
Yeah, that's good work. Thank you, Andrew. But for real, like, that's the same reason, like, and this is what's going to upset some people. I wouldn't date a fat chick either. Like, I wouldn't, like, don't get me wrong. Like, if my wife were to gain weight, like, absolutely, because like,
I've been there. My wife gained weight with the breast implant stuff.
Yeah, but I would definitely encourage health. Like, when I was fat as fuck and I was barely sleeping, she was like, you know what, we got to change this. I want you to be around for a while. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. But if it's initial attraction, it's not even having to do anything with pretty or anything like that. Like, if you're looking for a mate, you're looking for a mate for life, frankly, if you ask me. You know what I mean? Like, if you're just fucking around, fuck around with whatever you fucking want to fuck around with. I don't give a fuck. That's on you. As long as everybody's consenting, I don't give a shit. But if people are trying to find their fucking significant other, if they're trying to find their one, like how you feel about your wife, how I feel about my wife, how men, actual real men, should feel about the person they want to spend the rest of their life with, like, you want that person to be as healthy as fucking possible. And you'll accept them if they're not. Like, if something happens, you'll accept them if they're not. But the initial attraction would not be like, hey, she looks like she's breathing soup. Like, she can barely fucking move. Where's the fucking attraction in that?
Well,
it's the same, you know?
You don't pick someone up because of their fucking, their personality. You can't tell.
No.
If you're talking to someone, it's because you have a physical attraction. Physical leads to emotional, leads to spiritual, whatever. Now, here's a question I got DM'd. And I actually, my answer you might not agree with. Or you might not understand, and maybe I was just rushing because I had a lot of shit going on that day. Today's kind of a chill day, believe it or not. I'm actually kind of relaxed. But here's the thing, is that we had a guy ask, like, hey, you know, my girlfriend or my wife, I forgot what it was, she's overweight. I don't like the health stuff. I'm not really into, you know, banging fat chicks, whatever. And he's like, what should I say to her to motivate her to come to the gym with me? And my answer was, well, you know, you can go with my approach, which would be, look, I love you and I want you around forever. But at the end of the day, I don't think if people aren't self-motivated that it's going to matter. It's like I'm trying to convince a smoker to stop smoking. You could tell them they're going to die all they want. Unless they get self-motivated to quit, they're not going to quit. So if you nag them, you're going to drive them away. You're going to ruin your relationship. So if they just don't like exercising and they've accepted being fat, you either need to, and you've already brought it up. Like, he's obviously already broached the subject. So you can't do it like every week. That's just going to make resentment. So you either got to accept the fact that she likes to be fat, or you have to just move on and find a new mate. Because if it's bugging you that much, like, I'll be real, like, my wife's lost a ton of weight, but when she was overweight, it didn't bug me. It didn't bother me. I didn't care. Because our relationship, again, we've been together 24 years this year. Like, it's not
three kids, 24 years. I mean,
it's not physical as much. It's physical, but like, it's not physically driven. Physical goes from, as you progress in a relationship, you go from physical being number one, where you're fucking like rabbits every day. And then I'm speaking generally, right? Yeah. And then you have kids. Changes if you have kids or not. Kids, responsibility. At the end of the day, it's fucking 10 p.m. You just get back from soccer practice and you're trying to get to bed. Dude, the last thing on your mind is fornicating. Like, so you become more of an emotional support and a co-parent. And kids change everything. So obviously your hierarchy of needs in a marriage goes, it progresses. It goes from, when we were first together as teenagers, like, all I wanted to do was fuck, right? And I'm like, I will never change. I will always want to fuck every minute of every day. And I do. It's just, there's other shit that needs to be done. Like, we work in the house alone all day. But I have phone calls and I have this and I have that. I don't have time to be like, okay, you know, and I also don't want, I'm also not a quickie guy. So I'm not going to be like, all right, let's just go 5 seconds. You know, then I almost feel guilty because I'm more of a giver than a taker, if that makes sense. So
I hear you.
So it's a weird situation. How would you answer that guy?
Very similarly. Like it sounds to me like the guy's trying to get his girlfriend to like the shit he likes.
Yes.
Not be fit. You know what I mean? Because like the very first thing I would say is like, well, if there's physical stuff you want to do, let's maybe go for a hike. Let's maybe just start with going for a walk. Like, fuck. I mean, dude, like at one point in time that like when I hadn't been in the gym in a long time, like when I first got into healthcare and I got promoted, I hadn't been in the gym in a while and I got really badly out of shape because I went from working out every day, eating the food that I fed the residents that I was in because the facility I was in charge of, and like on my feet all the time to driving for 5 or 6 to 7 hours a day, visiting, you know, sitting down, doing office work, shit like that, and eating shit food while I was on the road. So I got out of shape, right? And Crystal started me like, let's just go for a walk. Like, let's just go 10 minutes. You know, like she started me with that. Like, hey, why don't we try this 15 minutes worth of yoga? You know? And then like once I start building back in, the old fire hit and I was like, okay, I can't wait to get back to the gym, blah, 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 right? And now her and I still work out pretty differently. You know what I mean? Like she does a lot of like HIIT style training that she programs and stuff like that. She was kind of my coach. She programs a lot of the suspension system stuff for me. But I still like she's never been like she's always been into more volume style work in the gym that where I was lifting heavy for a while. I love volume now more than anything.
Now you were like a motherfucker, man. I remember watching this shit because I'm like, I remember when I first watched your lifting videos. Cause I was like, that was when I didn't really like you. And I'm like, fuck that guy. And then I'm like, fuck, he's actually kind of strong.
Shit. The one thing I had, my squat form was pretty.
Like, I never talked shit about your lifting. Never said a word.
Never
said a word. Cause I had nothing to say. I'm like,
That was like, even when we were going at it, I was like, I was like, he's such a fuckhead, but his supplements are really good.
There's certain things we never crossed. Like we never brought family into it. And we never fucking talked about our bodies or our lifting, you know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. But I would answer him very much similar to you. Like, here's the thing. Maybe it's not meant to be. Like, it doesn't sound to me here's my thing. And I know you and Katie are the same way. If business is not, if there's not business, I'm going to be with my wife.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like that's the person I'm going to be. Like, we'll go kayaking. We'll go walking. I don't care if we just walk around the mall. I don't care what the fuck we do. I don't care if we sit next to each other and watch TV for a little bit and watch a show. That's who I want to be with, right? It doesn't sound to me like this. It sounds to me like this guy's trying to get his significant other to find the shit he likes more appealing so he can feel better. Like maybe ask her what she likes to do. Maybe, you know, that sort of thing. And I'm talking physical. Like, and again, I agree with you. Don't harp on it every day. Like, hey, you need to get healthy. I need to get healthy. I need to get healthy. Because that turns the fucking person off.
It's horrible.
But in reality, it's the same thing. Like, he's healthy. Like, people oftentimes say that obesity is contagious. It's complete bullshit. Obesity is absolutely contagious. Because not only
look at kids.
Yeah. Parents pass on not only through their genes, because they do, like an obese person genetically is going to, like, if you have a child while obese, that child is more than likely going to be obese. It's, you know, studies show. But also just the habits and everything like that are going to show through. It's the same thing. Like, we call other people influencers on social media, but then all of a sudden we expect that when they eat like shit and fucking are fat as fuck, that they're not going to influence our audience to be eat like shit and be fat as fuck. Come on now, people, let's get there. Right. But what happens for a lot of people when they lose weight, and this happens to a lot of our clients, dude, they have to lose their entire friend circle. Like, not just significant others, but they have to lose their entire friend circle. Their friend circle is negative reinforcement. Their friend circle is always telling them like, oh, but you're eating healthy now. Oh, but you're dieting now. Oh, can you eat this? Like, it's almost like the picking at it for trying to fucking get healthy.
Look at Casey's family. He had to distance from his family because they're mad at him for losing weight.
Yeah, it's fucking, I mean, so I think you gave that guy proper advice. Like, at some point in time too, it's just if you don't like how she's going to live, like, you guys should have a serious sit down conversation, and she could be like, hey, I think you're just too obsessed with working out. And he could be like, I think you need to go. Maybe you guys can meet somewhere in the middle. Cause in reality, a lot of gym bros, like me and you make our living from this shit, right? A lot of gym bros just accept like, do enough to be healthy and be in shape, but none yet. Like you motherfuckers are not going to be Phil Heath. You know what I mean? Like you're, it's not like it's what I was telling people earlier. Like, I mean, I hate to have like stun the audience like that, but most of you motherfuckers are weak as fuck and don't understand what intensity is. What go, if you get a chance, if Mark is in your town and he holds a meet and greet at a gym, go watch him work out. Okay. I'm not saying to do that with me because I don't like people watching me when I work out. But if Mark is in your town and holds a meet and greet, go watch him work out. It's fucking intense as fuck. That was the difference. When I first fucking got into YouTube, the first few workouts I had with YouTubers, I realized right away what the difference was. These people just work out at a slightly higher level of intensity than I do. That's it. So I got outworked the first couple times that I worked out with different YouTubers, and it doesn't happen after that. Because I can fucking get up and go. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I changed that about myself. But that's the difference. Most people that think that they work out really, really, really hard and that they're a super gym goer and everything like that, they're only as motivated as the program they're on. And then once their program becomes dull, they take a month or two off. You know, I mean, that's the reality for most people. Most people should way more focus on avoiding the fatness as you get older. Most dudes that say I'm gonna bulk so I can get bigger should seriously ask themselves why. Like seriously ask themselves why. You know,
I love how, you know, it's like people assume that, like, I know I've accepted that being as big as I am is not the healthiest thing, you know? Right. So for most people, like, it's like, well, I don't want to be like you. Don't be like me. You know, this is a hobby. And, you know, people who are extreme, I have a lot of people who do extreme BMX, they're going to hurt themselves, right? They're going to hurt themselves, but they do it because they love it. And for me, I love seeing where my body can go with what I do. And there's nothing wrong with that, but you're looking at general health and fitness, find an activity you love. You know, I like these Twitter bros. I love my two post tweets this week. It's like 99% of muscle people on Twitter telling you how to gain muscle have no muscle.
Yeah.
And we know who we're talking about.
Yeah.
99% of money Twitter isn't rich. People on Twitter trying to tell you to get rich aren't rich. So you're listening to these false idols, YouTube, Instagram, all this shit is fake.
Yep.
So you have people come around like us, Alan, like when I give you financial advice, because I've done it because I have a lot of money, because I've earned a lot of money and I've had to figure out how to invest it. And I've done pretty well with my investments. I'm not out there faking it till I make it, renting a Lambo to take a picture in front of. If somebody has a picture of a Lambo and they're giving you financial advice, run as fast as you can, because
worst advice you're going to get.
They're fucking stupid because they fucking spent their money on a fucking Lambo. Okay, if someone posts a picture of a house that they've made $1 million on the past 2 years, like I've done, then they can fucking take their advice. And if the house is paid off and they have no car payments, that's the guy you want to listen to. Money Twitter will tell you that debt is an asset. I'm going to tell you debt is never an asset. So there's different views. Obviously, money is always cheap. Money's always free. But I know that if I pay off my house, I don't pay interest, that I am not paying interest. And all other, there's nothing else that's guaranteed except not paying interest is guaranteed gains.
Yeah.
You're not paying it. Investing in something that has a lifetime yield of 10%, that's lifetime. That could be 10 years, that could be 20 years, that could be 15 years. Bitcoin can be regulated at any second by the government. It can.
Yep.
And I'm someone who has a significant amount of money in Bitcoin. Yeah. So you got to look at overall things. You can't just go by the bro with an anonymous profile on Twitter or the guy standing by a Lambo in his picture and say, hey, this guy's going to give me the right financial advice. Right. So what Alan and I try to do, we don't speak on things we don't know. The one thing we know is health and fitness. You know, I've been, you know, my main focus, and Alan obviously worked in healthcare, my main focus has been, because I make products, immune health. That's what I've been focusing on. Obviously gains. I love gains and making delicious protein bars. And that's why we launched the new peanut butter jelly. And I love what I do. But now,
is that one gluten-free, by the way? I need to ask. Is that one gluten-free?
I'm pretty sure it is. Yes. I got to check, but I'm pretty sure it is. Because it's just strawberries. So, so another thing is that, you know, you got to kind of pay attention to who's going on. So my main focus now, as you can tell, is heart health and getting rid of systemic pain and inflammation. And Alan and I will pick, it's almost like we leech on each other's hobbies, because Alan will send me something. I'll get infatuated with it. And then I'll send him something. And then we both got on to, you know, between the metformin and the berberine and the gynostemma and all these things. And what I encourage you guys to do is read and research, read and research, read and research. Don't take what you read at face value. Like there was one guy who posted this morning that, you know, having higher testosterone can increase your chances of having issues from COVID. I posted a counter study that said the opposite. What does that tell me? It tells me we don't know shit. We need more research.
You know, one of the things I always encourage people, because I really got into reading studies in the last like 2 or 3 years, especially when all this shit started happening. Like, and I've always been good at reading them because I always had to look up information when I worked in healthcare, right?
Yeah.
But the one thing I love to do is I read the studies linked to the study. Like every study is going to have studies that they link, right? Yep. So if you really want to try to like go down a rabbit hole on a topic, find a study that has human, first of all, make sure it's human testing. Like the in vivo and mouse studies and all that shit, make sure, like, if you are really interested, if it's worth your time, it'll have human testing in it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then you go, and I checked it already. It does have, it is gluten-free, by the way, if that's what you're checking. I'm stoked for the peanut butter. Oh,
really? But, cool. For some reason, I was 99% sure, but I didn't, because I know that we had these, we sourced these amazing strawberries that only have the, the only preservative in it is actually coconut oil, very little amount. So we use these really, really good freeze-dried strawberries. So we're, and I just want to make sure that in the strawberry preservative that there was nothing else that would,
I'm good to go. I can't wait. I'm gonna order a box today. But
I'll send you a box because I need to send you sleep aid.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate you. But read, not only read the study, but here's what I did. This is how you'll broaden your knowledge base on a topic. Every time you read a study, and this happens to me still almost on a daily basis, there's a term I don't fucking understand. almost every fucking time, right? I look that term up immediately. Yes. Like, don't just read past it because then you don't understand what the fuck you're reading. What you do is you make sure you read that, you broaden your horizon, you understand that topic, then you go back to the main study. And then once you're done with that, then you read the secondary studies that the study references to, okay? That way you have the base information based off of what they talked about. And this is how it's gotten to the stage where I've not only been able to, like, really help with my arthritis and really watch my heart health. I'm 50 years old. I got WPW, which is Wolff Parkinson's White Syndrome, an extra piece of tissue on my heart. And my resting heart rate's like 42. You know what I mean? Like, it's fucking insanity. I've lost 50 pounds, 45 pounds, I believe, in the last like fucking year and a half, 2 years. Like, people, it's a matter of knowledge. It's a matter of want. And I'm the type of person where I cannot just do something. Like, me and Mark talk about like stuff we do all the time. Both of us look up that shit, just so you know. Like, I mean, Mark, I don't send Mark an idea without data, because he's going to ask me, and I'm the same fucking way. You know what I mean? Like, you should be yourself. It's what you're putting in your body. Know what the fuck is going on. When Mark and I release our thing, it is going to have associated human tested shit with it. Like, I mean, like every single one of them. We encourage you to read it. To read that shit, you know?
Kimberly has a great point. There's another thing you need to look at, and that's objectively telling yourself how you feel. You know, if you feel like you're crushing, like, you know what you're feeling. Like, now when I say I have back pain, I'm still deadlifting 700 pounds, y'all. Like, it's just, I'm not, when I say I have anything, it means I'm not perfect. And I always strive to feel perfect. And so, you know, when something's off, and a lot of times people will have issues. Like my wife, we spent the last 5 years at least with her breast implant illness, whatever it's called. We spent the last 5 years trying to figure it out. We had tests. We ruled everything out. We had her hormones checked fucking every 2 months. We had everything from thyroid to autoimmune. We tested everything until we knew the last thing was to remove the implants. We, not because we really like the tits, just because it's a very invasive, very hard surgery.
Right.
And so we went in, took them out, and within hours, I remember Alan fucking texted, he's like, holy shit, Katie is a different person. Look at her complexion. This is like hours, right after she got them taken out. And I'm like, and then he texted, and I'm like, hey, Alan said, Katie's like, I know, Alan texted me. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, this is fucking, I'm getting goose pimples just fucking thinking about it. You know, it's like, that's the thing. Like, you need to pay attention to your body. You can't ignore these signs. You got to get your blood work done at least once a year. You have to pay attention to your health. You need to stop relying on big pharma and the hospitals. Yep. You know, the hospitals kill. It's the third leading cause of death is hospital error.
Mm-hmm. 400 and some thousand people fucking year.
Well, my thing is, I'm not saying don't go to the hospital if something's bad. I'm saying try to keep shit from going bad, because there's a very good chance you go to the hospital with something and they end up killing you for something else. Hospitals fuck up a lot. Yep. They do. There's a lot of reasons. One is they don't, their schedules are weird. They don't sleep enough. They're understaffed. They see you as a number and not a person. There's a lot of reasons that hospitals are the third leading cause of death. Not what you went to the hospital with, but the actual hospital fucking up.
Yep. And that does not include hospital acquired infection. Like cross infection, it does not include. It includes medical error, which is fucking crazy shit. You know.
Yeah, the best thing that ever came out was the fucking doctor on the dial up a doctor thing. The what is it? I use Live Health or Live Health. I don't know how you pronounce it, but you literally get the doctor. So like, I'll get laryngitis at trade shows, just because. And I know what I need. I need fucking prednisone and I need an oral steroid. Yeah. And a mist, right? I know exactly what I need, and sometimes they'll put me on a Z-Pack. And 100% of the time, it's gone in 5 days. Mm-hmm. There's one thing I know for sure. If you go into a doctor's office, I don't care if you're wearing three masks and a fucking bubble suit, you're getting sick.
Yeah.
So the fact that all I have to do is take this very phone right here, and I can sit naked from the waist down and talk to a doctor, and he can give me exactly what I know my doctor is going to give me. And I also have a case study. When I believe it was when I had COVID the first time, but I thought it was laryngitis. Mm-hmm. I went to urgent care and he gave me some shit. And I'm like, cool, sounds good. Took it. Nothing happened. Didn't help me. I called up Doctor on Demand. That was the one that was covered through our insurance at the time. And this woman's like, you know what? Like, she's like, we're just going to fucking throw the kitchen sink at it. She didn't say fucking. She said kitchen sink. She went intranasal, she went with oral spray, she went with fucking prednisone, she went with fucking Z-Pak, she threw an antiviral in there, like, and I was within 2 days, I was talking, I felt great, and this is when we just moved here, so I'm like, I will never go to a doctor's office again unless it's for a dermatological skin check.
Yeah, I mean, it's to go to an emergency room, it's got to be a real fucking emergency. We've even talked about that before. It's got to be a really fucking big emergency. It's the crazy shit that people don't understand. Like, people just put their blind faith in pharmaceutical and the hospital. And I can tell you this right now. There is a long-term care facility somewhere in your area. And I'm talking to every single one of you out there. There is a long-term care facility somewhere in your area, especially because there's a lot of these mandates going on, that they're counting the dishwasher as a care person to meet their state minimum regulations. They have trained a dishwasher in CPR, so they can technically call that person a care individual. And for during the day, I think it's 1 to 7, or it used to be through CMS, it used to be 1 to 7. So for every 7 patients, there need to be one caregiver, right? And they can get in trouble with the state or federal government if they don't meet that minimum regulation. So they count the dishwasher as a fucking care person. I can guarantee you.
I am so anti-hospital. If you don't need to go, you need to go. Now, if you go to, like, we had a neighbor and our neighbors, and he went with COVID and he ended up passing away because they wouldn't let him use. He literally lives right down the road, you know, at the end of the street by where it ends. So he passed away, 2 kids. They wouldn't let him have ivermectin. They wouldn't let him have any of that stuff. They wouldn't have let him have the monoclonal antibodies. And the hospital and our neighbors, and I'm not saying that I believe this, but the consensus among the neighbors was the hospital killed him. And the wife is afraid to speak up or say anything because she just doesn't want the backlash. So we've made it where I had a guy, his kid got the shot and he had adverse events. And I wrote, I'm sorry for what happened. I tweeted this, but why would you give your kid this shot? So you have, this guy is getting roasted on Twitter because he's simply telling people, this is what happened to me. You might want to rethink this. And people are getting mad that he's telling a story about his kid is really sick, because it's safe and effective for some, not everybody. And I will stand by that. And you can't, nothing is safe and effective for everybody. In this cup right here, these ice shakers, I keep coffee in it. Coffee will fuck people up. Yep. Some people. For me, it's like drinking water.
Mm-hmm. Oh shit! I mean, caffeine for some people is the fuel of life. It helps prevent heart disease because it helps thin their blood. It does all sorts of shit, right? I mean, there's plenty of data that shows that even up to a gram a day of caffeine is healthy for most people. But the word most is fucking used. For some people, depending on the heart condition the person might have, or if they have prolapse or something like that, or even if they have a, say they have a tendency to go to AFib or for whatever reason, or if they have myocarditis, like the coffee industry is fucked, by the way. Imagine all these young athletes whose lives are changed from that shit. You know, well, like
when we'll have the label back hopefully by next week. And, you're going to notice that everything says consult with a doctor. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. Yet we can have these organizations, and I always retweet them and call them out, say the beer shot is safe and effective without any qualifier. They just say it's safe and effective. Not for most, not consult your doctor, just it's safe and effective. And even if it is safe and effective, there is nothing out there that is blanketly safe and effective, including water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's a very good point. People can, and it's very, very hard to, but people can drink too much water that causes their sodium levels and their potassium levels to get out of balance. Well, you have to try hard. Like, you have to fucking try hard.
Yeah, you know? I mean, it's really hard to get, I don't know why the word's escaping me, hyperatremia. Yeah. But, you know, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, people go like, oh, no, we're not saying it's bad. We're saying that for a large portion of the population, large meaning over 1%.
Yeah.
That's a large portion of the population. It could be deadly.
Yeah.
It could be. But here's the problem. We have no data, and the data we do have doesn't look good. It's not good. The numbers are bad, guys. They're bad numbers. These are bad numbers.
And it's the worst part is this isn't a one and go. Like, I mean, it's a continuous jabs for life. I mean, you're a human pincushion. Like,
they have no studies on repeated use of it. Like, they have studies from like reaction from one to two, or at least a little bit of data. There's no data on three or four, or five. There's no data on repeated exposure to these spikes.
That's why the just disingenuous nature of like, well, what we need to do is, you know, we're going to have a snowstorm. Everybody needs to get, you know, get their jab and make sure you got a booster. And like, you've got fucking Fauci talking about like, you know, avoiding natural immunity and talking about like, if people need to get boosted. Like, they're literally calling it boosted now. Like, I mean, like, the terminology has changed. And me and you said it would. Like, as the very second, I remember you showing me something, and I remember saying, have you noticed how there's four slots on that motherfucker? Why is there four slots on that motherfucker if it's supposed to be two?
Yeah. Yeah. The card, and I'm like, you're like, there's four slots. I'm like, oh, shit.
They always intended it. I feel that they just felt that it wasn't going to be palatable enough to just be two. You know,
well, which is really horrible because we don't. Yeah, but anyway, so man, we can ramble on all day. There's so much. So next week I'm flying out on Wednesday, which I will be able to Gainescast from the road. I'll have nothing to do Wednesday, Thursday, except just get tanned and hang out and work from the Airbnb. There's a lot of topics going on. Any topics you guys want us to cover? Feel free to tweet at us at Mark Lobliner at the MFing COO.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna start reaching out to some people, see if they maybe want to join us for a conversation. I'm gonna try to reach out to people that don't like us, just to see how that works.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do, but yeah, we appreciate everybody watching, and we get more and more people every time, and we really appreciate it. And anything you guys need, we're here for you, man.
Everybody, thank you very much. We'll talk soon.
All right, bye, everybody.
Bye.